This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Oh, man, it's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Hope you guys are having a good morning. It's a Thursday. It's going to be a beautiful next few days. Man, it got great out yesterday afternoon. Weekend's supposed to be fantastic. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. So if you are driving down to Eugene, if you're just watching games around here, Seahawks from London on Sunday morning, getting out and around, it's going to be a heck of a weekend here, Brock.
Oh, going to be an absolute blast. And kickoff, 12:30, the Huskies. Back-to-back weeks here coming up. The Huskies will have 12:30 kickoffs.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? They'll welcome in Colorado the following weekend, something that Chris Peterson, really all these coaches clamor for. And you know what? And you know, when we sat in those Pac-12 media meetings last year, I think there's something to be said that if you're on top and you've earned that opportunity over the last few years, you should get some of those 12:30 kicks. You know, that should almost be a reward opportunity, much like you see other conferences do in the SEC. Take care of Alabama and take care from a scheduling standpoint, almost scheduling for success as much as you can.
Well, we will go to London, Brock, coming up in a half hour. We'll talk to our very own Lydia Cruz, who has been there now for, I think, close to a week. So we'll talk to Lydia, and she's with Jessamine, and they're all getting ready for the game on Sunday. At 9 o'clock, Dave Wyman is also in London, so we'll talk to Dave and have him get us ready for the game. So a lot of Seahawks and London conversation to come, but right now let's get ready for Saturday. Talk to Sean McDonough. Of course, he's calling the game, the Husky game for ESPN. He joins us on the Venue Kings Hotline. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you doing?
We're doing great. You guys have a pretty good one. This may be the game of the year in the Pac-12 anyway. Looking forward to it?
Oh, very much so. You know, I've never been to Oregon, so it's hard for me to believe as long as I've been doing this and the many games I've done all over the place, I've never been there, and obviously it's one of the great venues in college football. And tremendous rivalry, and as you said, a very meaningful game with a lot of great storylines. So, yeah, we're very fired up about it.
You know, Sean, I didn't tell you this, but we had Nebraska-Colorado earlier this season, and I just remember growing up watching those games. So I went to the old YouTube machine, and I plugged in, you know, old Colorado-Nebraska, and there was a young Sean McDonough. I think it was, gosh, it wasn't Bill Curry. Who are you working with? You had the coach down in the locker room.
Might have been Mike Godfrey.
That's exactly who it was. It was a rainstorm, and he's in there.
It was terrible. I just remember going there. You know, I'd never done a game at Nebraska, and, you know, as a kid watching Keith Jackson do all those games, and you know, this big press box in Lincoln, and I'd never been there, so I'm walking up flights of stairs, and where's the TV booth? They said, oh, it's up another level. I walk up, where's the TV booth? It's up another level. So I'm thinking to myself, up another level is on the roof. And sure enough, you know, we were in a wooden hut on top of the press box, and it was about 33 or 4 degrees and, like, driving sleet coming straight into the booth. We actually sent my chart out to get laminated because it was getting savage by the weather. And it was awful. You know, now Nebraska has a beautiful TV booth, which actually has a bathroom right in it, which they call the Keith Jackson bathroom, because Keith said, if you build a new TV booth and put a bathroom in it, I'll come do the first game out of this booth. And I think he wound up doing that. So
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I remember that game. It was a heck of a game, as I recall, too.
Yeah,
Colorado,
it was.
And Nebraska. I think Colorado beat them.
It was a wild one.
That's some juice, by the way, if you're Keith Jackson. When you can just say, hey, build something and I'll come as long as you put a bathroom in. Yep. That is some juice as
an
announcer.
I wish he said that to every press box and every sports information staff that he went to, because especially as I get older, one of the banes of our existence is, you know, the commercial breaks for 2 minutes and you don't have time to run down the hallway and go use the restroom.
Well, they did it in the new Husky Stadium. I don't know if you've been in there since it's been remodeled, but they did the same thing. They put the bathroom.
No, last time I was there, actually, I think they played Nebraska, and it was sort of right before they were doing the renovations, if I recall.
It's awfully nice now.
The quarterback for Nebraska is still running up and down the field, if I remember that game correctly.
Yeah, you probably do. So do you have any expectations for what you're going to see yet Saturday? Any feel? Is Todd giving you his notes of his film study, and Holly shot her stories along to you? Do you got any?
We're all, you know, going back and forth. I think it's going to be a close competitive game. I think I saw in the newspaper yesterday that according to the experts in Las Vegas, Washington is a slight favorite, and I think that's probably correct. But I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing Justin Herbert play in person. You know a lot more about it than I do, Brock. But after watching some of the tapes to get ready for this game, I can understand why Todd McShay has him as his top-ranked quarterback among draft prospects, because he's pretty special at that size to be that athletic and have that strong an arm but still have the kind of touch that he has. It's hard to figure out what he doesn't have. So really looking forward to watching him play. And I think, as I said, there's great storylines all over the place and a great rivalry, a really spirited rivalry with some interesting history. And I always like that part of it, as we try to tell some stories over the course of a 3.5 hour broadcast.
You guys going to show poor Damon in this?
We don't need to show the 94.
Are you
going to
show poor Damon
poor
Damon? That's so sad.
That's so long ago. That's so over. It's so tired.
It is. How about Herbert against this secondary? Because if he really is going to be a top NFL player, this is about as close to an NFL secondary as he's going to see this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I think it's true, and I think that's definitely a storyline that we'll get into. You watch the Washington tape, and not only does the fact that they have good players jump out, but it's clear that they're a very well coached team too. So that's definitely a part of it, and I'm excited. I think if this isn't the best game of the weekend, it's certainly one of them, and it's one of the reasons why I was excited to come back to college football. The chance to do big games every week, as Brock knows. ESPN typically waits till 6 days out to see what the best games are and assign them accordingly. So, I'm really excited that that's where we're going.
How many stadiums are there, Sean? Have you ever kept track that you've not been to? You've been doing this a few decades.
Among the FBS.
Power
what are there, 130
five?
Now? There's been quite a few still that I haven't been to. I've never even been in the state of Oregon, which I find hard to believe, given I think that's one of only three states left that I haven't been in. So we'll cross that off the list. But
are you enjoying being back?
Friend, we travel a lot in this crazy life that we've chosen for ourselves.
Do you like being back doing the college this year?
Very much so. For a variety of reasons that I won't bore you with. But, as I said, I just think it's better suited for my interests. I enjoy the storytelling part of it and the humanizing the players and the coaches and talking about the history of it. And, NFL football is great. I'm certainly an NFL fan. But, as a broadcaster, it's really, when you do an NFL game, just down-to-down football, 1st and 10, 2nd and 5, blah, blah, blah. And, where this to me, and I love all the stuff that goes into college football. The venues, like we talked about, going this place when we go to Seattle, go to that great stadium on the lake. I just love the color and the pageantry and the traditions and the enthusiasm and all that stuff. And I really missed it. When I took the ego part of Monday Night Football out, I realized that I was happier and enjoyed it more when I was doing college football. And I think if anybody's watched the games that we've done this year, it's pretty evident that I'm excited to be back. Not that I wasn't excited to do Monday Night Football, because it was one of the great honors of my life. I mean, to be given the chance to be a part of that history, at the time I was the 5th play-by-play person in 46 years or whatever it was. And the 4 ahead of me are 4 of the legendary guys of all time. So, I'm glad that that was a chapter in my life, but, life is about being as happy as you can possibly be, and I was happy doing Monday Night Football, but I enjoy this more.
Sean McDonough with us. He'll be on the call with Todd Blackledge and Holly Rowe and Eugene, 12:30 kick with the Huskies and the Ducks on ABC. And I guess I'll ask it a similar question, but maybe in a little different way, Sean. You're away from the college game a couple years. You do experience everything the NFL has and has not to offer. And then you come back to the college game. Is there a new lens at all that you see it with? Is there anything new and refreshing being away from it and coming back that you've experienced this year?
No, not really. I mean, I did realize I knew that I'd miss it when I left, but I didn't think I'd miss it that much. We'd be on our way into production meetings on Saturday, usually with the home team on Monday Night Football. We'd visit with them on Saturday and the visiting team when they got to their hotel on Sunday. And I remember, walking around the home team's football facility and seeing college football games on TV, thinking, who's that? Where's that game? Wow, that's a great venue. I love doing games there. I just missed it. And, so I'm really happy to be back, but I don't think I approach this any differently. I just feel like College football is better suited for whatever skills I do or do not have as a broadcaster.
How about the game itself? I mean, it's interesting seeing the way some of the NFL teams are incorporating more and more of the college style innovations in the game of football, and certainly we got to see it last week with what Sean McVay's doing in LA. What sort of differences do you notice between the, or similarities maybe now between the two versions of the sport?
Yeah, well, you know, certainly the RPO thing is spreading. You know, it is, again, one of the things that I liked more about college football is the wide variety in the way teams play, you know, from all the way to option football to, you know, spread all over the field. Whereas, you know, even though I think the NFL is borrowing some of the stuff from the college game, there is more of a sameness to the structure of offense and defense that the NFL teams play. Relative to the variety of college football. And, you know, to me, the variety of the way these college teams play is another part of what makes it fun.
I'll tell you what's impressive. You've never been to the state. You know, you grew up in the Northeast, and it was not Oregon. I mean, that's pretty good, Sean. Like, already, you know,
no,
I think a lot of folks
there
are pretty impressed.
One of the things that I learned early on is if you don't get the names right, then especially the fans of those teams who know what the name is, you know, if you can't even get the name right, then they have no reason to trust anything else that you say. And that having been said, that is one of the challenges this week, because there are a few names here looking at these rosters, spending time with the pronunciation guides that we're going to have to practice a few times so they come out smoothly. But whenever I speak to college kids who want to do this, that's the thing. First thing I say is make sure you start with the names. You know, let's get the names right first. Go on from there.
Well, and that's why I always think the top broadcast crews try to stay away from the Pac-12 because of all the challenging names that you tend to find in the Pac-12. I'm surprised that you allowed
There's
yourself to do this.
There's a lot of challenging names, but you know, you view it as a challenge, and you know, it's one of the it's one of the cop outs, Mike. To be honest, is you know, I try to be very vigilant about quite regularly giving the name every time of who made the tackle and blah blah blah. But there might be times if it's somebody who made a you know relatively routine tackle that didn't stand out where I might skip the name. It's too much of a mouthful, and I feel guilty about that because I'm not giving that player his due. But you know, better to do that in my own mind than to risk the embarrassment of the you know the polysyllabic. You know, one of the things you learn with a lot of these names is you know every vowel has to be pronounced, however you would say it. So, you know, I write them out phonetically on my chart, and I get teased by how big my spotting chart is. But one of the reasons why is there's a lot of stuff like on there, like pronunciation of names phonetically.
Brock, what Brock does is he carries this gigantic fluorescent chart.
Easy,
and he always like carries it in the airplane with him. He kind of waves it around so that people will come up and be like, "I'm sorry, are you Brock Hewitt?"
It was great to have you.
It's a great chart.
Great time.
What are you doing? Where are you going?
Brock can just lean on the shoe, man. Bob with shoes is one of the greats. That was
true.
The shoe the last couple of days at the we did a college football playoff mock exercise down in Dallas the last 2 days where the committee was nice enough to. Put us through a mock exercise of how they go about picking the four teams for the playoff at the end of the year. So that was a lot of fun, and it was very informative. And it was also fun to spend time with your partner, Brock. You guys are a great team with Allison Williams. I know I've texted you a couple of times during the games that you guys have been doing, but you know, it makes me feel proud as an ESPN person when I watch a broadcast like what you guys do every week and see the hard work that went into it, the obvious preparation that went into it, and just the ability of really talented broadcasters who enjoy doing what they're doing.
Bob and Allison are certainly very good, so they help carry the freight,
no question about it.
Hey, Sean, since we have you on, and I've told people before that, that I grew up listening to Sean call Red Sox games, so I can't help it. I still think of you as a baseball announcer as much as you've done football and everything else, called basketball over the years. Are you watching the playoffs this year? Have you been watching and paying attention to where baseball is at and some of the...
Yeah, I have been watching a lot of it. Obviously, Red Sox had a great year, and... you know, I took particular interest in the Yankees this year because I did a couple seasons with Aaron Boone when I was doing baseball for ESPN. And, you know, he's one of my favorite people I've ever worked with and just a super guy. So, you know, it's hard as a lifelong Red Sox person to have a bit of a soft spot for the manager of the Yankees. But, you know, Aaron is such a good guy that, you know, I kind of almost felt torn watching it. You know, I think eventually you go back to, you know, the loyalty that you've had your entire life, but I certainly would have been happy for him if they won. I think this series between the Red Sox and Houston is going to be fantastic. You know, I think, to me, Houston probably has the best all-around team, but the Red Sox are having one of those magical years where everything seems to go their way, regardless of how, like the other night, it looked like the game was about to get away from them in the bottom of the ninth, and they found a way to pull it out, despite a kind of a leaky bullpen. I think if the Red Sox don't win the whole thing, the bullpen will probably be their undoing.
Sean, it's always good to catch up with you, and we'll enjoy watching and listening on Saturday. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Always fun to be with you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it, man.
There you go. There's Sean McDonough, of course, of ESPN, who joins us there in the Venue Kings hotline. Sean is a great announcer, honestly. And growing up watching him, he was, you know, he was the voice of the Red Sox on TV every single night. He is as good a play-by-play announcer as I can think of.
Yeah, I think a few things here.
The shoe.
You and Kyle got to experience the shoe.
I know, but I've never heard anyone call him the shoe.
I just call him Big Game Bob.
I have never heard anyone call Bob the shoe. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's kind of insider. That's insider.
And training. People should also know, just, you know, when you think about Sean McDonough, remember that his father essentially is the reason that reporters are on TV. Will McDonough was the world's like greatest NFL reporter who CBS brought on for their pregame show and sort of started the whole idea of having reporters go on television and talk about what they were seeing.
Yep.
So, I mean, his family is legendary. Will McDonough is one of the all-time greats who once punched a player in the locker room. Can you imagine if that happened today?
No.
Can you imagine the outcry if a reporter punched a player?
Who would be on the Seahawk beat? Who would be the reporter?
The puncher?
That just snaps? Yeah, who would be the one that just snaps and punches a player?
I hope it's Brady. It's
certainly not Condota. He just has none of that explosive.
Doesn't have the athleticism for that.
I mean, Greg Bell got some of that military
background.
That's
right, yeah.
He feels like he's got some quaking rage.
Yeah, I'll go with Greg.
I'd probably
That seems like the
too.
Right person.
Hey, a couple
He
things.
Also might be the person one of the players snaps and punches, though, so who knows?
Yes. Yeah. A few things, and we've said this about Mike Tirico and Sean McDonough and Joe Buck when they join us. If you're a young, aspiring, want to get in this media field, and you look at the very best in it, I think something should jump out of how unbelievably well-rounded those guys are and could talk about anything.
Yep.
Like, I could just talk about anything. We could talk any sport, anything in life, travel, you know, and I think it's a testament in why they're in the position they're in. The second thing he mentioned, Justin Herbert, Kyle's guy. Who Kyle is just in love with.
Justin Herbert.
Yep, that guy. And it reminded me of something I heard from a college coach. Actually, it was Gino Auriemma who had made this point in talking about recruiting and talking in particular to parents of recruits. And you don't want your kid to peak his junior year of high school. You want your young athlete, and I think so many, you know, back to youth sports, so many want you to peak your ninth grade year or your junior year of high school. Everything's got to be done. Your ceiling's got to be met. It wasn't for Justin Herbert. The guy got hurt his senior year. He didn't have some offers. He was thin. He was gangly, as you said, Salk, yesterday as a freshman. And you've watched him just grow and develop. And what a lesson, I think, yet again, for a lot of parents, for a lot of athletes.
Yeah.
You don't have to hit your ceiling your sophomore year of high school. And, in fact, there's some advantage to, wow, I can actually have touch, and I can throw a rocket ball, and I can, you know, scramble, and I can add 15 to 20 pounds of strength and weight and really hit my stride when it, you know, kind of matters the most.
Brock,
as far as professional
career. Did I hear you confess that you saw Justin Herbert and had no idea who he was?
No idea who he was.
Isn't he like 8 feet tall?
Yeah, he's gigantic. He had this big moppy do. Like the picture and the reference point I had was his kind of freshman year against Washington. And then this guy was just like, he looked like Shaggy plus 100 pounds from Scooby-Doo.
Wow.
It's exactly what he looked like. And the biggest, broadest shoulders. I mean, he's just an enormous guy. 6'6 plus and had to weigh, I think I asked him, he said, yeah, about 245. I mean, bigger than Big Ben. And, you know, and really, really athletic. So a guy that's hit his stride now. And then the last thing is this Heward pick. Like, when is it going to be done? It's 1994, for crying out loud.
Come on,
you're still playing that stupid pick. And by the way,
it's never going to be done.
And
you
by the way,
that.
In 95, if we make one of three kicks at home, we go to the Rose Bowl. And then what happens? Oh, everything turned on this pick in 94. Oh, the whole fortunes changed for the two programs. Oh, from that point, they went to the Rose Bowls and the Huskies did not. Well, what if the next year we make one of three kicks in our own stadium and go to the Rose Bowl? Then what? You still playing that stupid pick on your big screen? Probably not. There you go. That's
that
every year.
The Heward family, that cuts deep.
I just,
it bothers you.
Oh. I just
it doesn't. You're not really letting it on, but it kind of seems like it bothers.
It does.
It bothers Brock
every year. Well, it's my blood.
Absolutely, I don't blame
everybody
you.
Everybody just points to that one play. There's never one play that just changed. Hold on, maybe from the 1 yard line. Maybe
of course,
the
there
Super
is.
Bowl in the final
I don't know, man. I understand why it makes you mad. I also understand why people play it. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's nothing personal against Damon. I love Damon.
You know when the fortunes changed at Oregon? Truly, when the fortunes changed, is the first enormous 000000000 check that Mr. Knight. Yeah.
Well, that's good luck convincing people that that's the case.
Well, that's when it changed.
You'll be shouting at clouds like I can.
Kenny Wheaton guessing and jumping around. It had everything to do with Phil Knight's commitment to that school,
Brock,
like T. Boone Pickens' commitment at Oklahoma State.
This is uncomfortable, I guess.
Why?
But just because of personal affinity for Damon, and obviously the fact that he's your brother.
Mm-hmm.
But those moments, the fact that he guessed and guessed right is indicative of what changed over the next 12 years.
No, what was indicative is
you can't shake that. I'm sorry.
No, I absolutely can, because that had not one play on a field. Yes, it was gigantic for that game, but that wasn't why Phil Knight all of a sudden decided, you know,
no,
what?
But it's indicative of how everything changed, of all the breaks started going one way instead of the other.
And had Phil Knight not been around there, okay, this would have never developed.
But that happens in rivalries. Things change. Like, I mean, you know, the Red Sox Yankees is a good example where obviously the fortunes have changed in that rivalry. And you know, the umpires getting together twice at Yankee Stadium in Game 6 and all.
You understand.
But
like,
what really changed is that John Henry started spending an unbelievable amount of money.
Yep.
But still, there are still these moments that are on-field representations of how things have changed.
Absolutely.
And you can't shake that no matter how much you love Damon.
Oh, there's absolutely things change on the field. But the single driving force, if anybody thought it was a play, it was the tens of millions of dollars like T. Boone Pickens pumped into Oklahoma State,
well,
like
course.
You see ownership do in pro sports. It is that commitment to say, I'm all in. I want to jump aboard this thing. And you know, it was first the track program and everything else and around it and building Nike, an incredible business. And now, you know what? I really want to pump it in here in the mid-90s into this school I went to and make their football and basketball programs incredibly relevant.
Oh, man, Justin Herbert against against what's essentially an NFL secondary. You ready for that?
I am. And if Washington up front does not do and play better, I was just answering some of Brent Stecker's questions.
I'd like to see them confuse him a little bit.
They have to. You know, they played the last three games to me very possible.
He looks like he could be confused.
That they're going to have to do that.
He looks like
have
it.
To. And
I'm just looking at pictures of him.
Yeah.
It just looks like maybe you could confuse him. I don't know. Like, if you gave him a couple of interesting schemes, that maybe you might be. I just my gut reaction looking at some pictures of. Give me the name again, Kyle.
I'm Justin Herbert.
That would be him. All right, Lydia Cruz is in London. We're going to join her from Piccadilly Circus next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Don't lose to Justin Herbert. Don't lose to this kid. I'm just saying, Brock.
Can I ask you a grammatical question?
Sure.
I'm just typing out some responses here for Brent Stecker so he can write a little piece on the UW-Oregon matchup.
All right. I mean, we're on the air now, so I don't know how much our audience wants grammatical
Just real quickly. Everybody in the audience, I'm sure, faces this. Maybe
I'm sure they do.
Basis.
Based on what I've seen, people are really concerned with grammar.
Effect with an A or effect with an E? How do you kind of make that choice?
That's so hard.
Huh?
Yeah.
You use neither and you write
the
impact.
Noise can be deafening and affect every aspect.
That's with an
impact.
A. That's an A.
That's an A?
Yeah.
How do you make that designation?
I just know.
Okay.
I'm not great on that.
I'm going to just say impact.
I've got that one nailed down. So.
Do you? Right. You feel like you truly know like A versus
E?
Yeah,
I have a really good grasp of that.
Man, good for you. That's
Lydia would answer it.
Yeah, well, I think it's all different in London. They change all that stuff. I mean, they're taking words and they've just completely changed most of them. Lydia's been there for like a week. Jessamine's there now. Wyman's there. Supposed to talk to Dave coming up in a half hour. He's at Seahawks practice from there.
John Clayton will be there in 2 days.
John Clayton will one day make it to London, hopefully, if everything's good. But we sought out the help of Lucy, Brock. She's online, and she helped us with some of the slang differences between here and England.
So the first one is, all right. And this really means, hello, how are you? Some people get confused and think it means, is everything okay? Really, it's a very general question. It's a nice way of greeting somebody. So if you hear someone in the street say, all right, you can say, yeah, how are you? As a response.
There you go. Lydia Cruz joining us from London. Lydia, have you heard anyone say all right as a greeting since you've been there?
No, I haven't. Kyle just greeted me with a nice cheerio.
Oh, have you heard any of that? And,
I haven't. My time in London has been kind of short so far because I've been in Scotland for a lot of this time.
Oh, what was that like?
It was wonderful. It was, I ate a lot. I drank a little bit, maybe a little bit more than a little bit, but it was a lot of fun, but happy to be here in London.
Do you miss us, Lydia?
Oh, every day. Come on, you guys. Especially when I get tweets like, Salk's losing it. You need to come back. What was that about?
Oh, probably Doug. I don't know. Which day? Which day was it, Lydia?
I've got to narrow it down.
Yeah, it's probably
give you a time
Doug.
Frame.
Probably Doug Baldwin, because Doug is really excited about Marshawn, how he's the greatest teammate of all time, and he gave him the backpack right off his back. I don't know if you heard about this. It's quite a moment.
One of the simplest stories, there was a young receiver on our team, and he came, and Marshawn had a backpack. And the young receiver's like, dang, that's a nice backpack. What'd you get it from? And he literally takes it off his back, dumps out all his stuff, and says, here, you can have it. He grabs his stuff and goes to the locker room. And he's just like, as simple and as plain as that, like Marshawn would, didn't matter who you were, if you respected him and loved him for him as a person and for who he was, he would give you the shirt. Literally, he would give you his backpack off his back. You know, I thought that was just the epitome of the man that he was.
Who was the receiver?
Me.
It was me.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, the great Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Marshawn is a man to be revered. He's so selfless. In the meantime, you should always snipe behind Russell Wilson's back. It makes perfect sense.
You know, I really can't hate on that, though, because as someone who loves a great backpack, who loves learning and all that you can pack into a backpack, I would really appreciate that gesture. So I can't hate on that.
So why this trip, Lydia? Why did you say, you know what, I got to experience London? Because we've chatted with poor John Clayton every day, Lydia, and as you can imagine, it's just been stress. I mean, he is so stressed. He doesn't even know what day it is, how he's going to travel for 48 hours and somehow get to London in one day. So he's very, very stressed about it. Why did you say, I got to make this trip and see the Seahawks in London?
Well, John and I should have a little bit of a chat. I thought this is once-in-a-lifetime cultural experience. You get to experience the city, the people, the food. Just today, we stopped by. We had some fish and chips. And when I say fish and chips, I mean an entire fish.
Mm.
And, just a whole fish and chips, which was delicious. We had a stop by Buckingham Palace and just happened to see the Queen as she was coming out.
Really?
So no deal. But yeah, really.
How's she
you
look?
You can't miss her hair. You can see her hair. Oh, she looked fabulous. But I would say to John, here's one thing that happened to me this morning. I nearly missed my train from Edinburgh to London. I was hiking up a hill in Edinburgh when the handle of my suitcase broke off. I couldn't find a cab to save my life. I'm just running through the streets of Edinburgh trying to roll my suitcase halfway there. On travel, always things will go wrong, but if you have a good attitude about it and you're just excited about the experience and the stories that you can tell later, it's going
to
be fun.
Don't tell that to John. He doesn't have a good attitude about it. And second of all, if you tell him things are going to go wrong beyond what's, I mean, he already thinks it's wrong. He has to be in a plane. So I don't think that's going to help John's trip very much.
Maybe the food.
Have you seen Hawks fans, Lydia?
We have seen Hawks fans. I saw Hawks fans in Edinburgh. I talked to a few. I also saw a Husky fan who I nearly accosted with my enthusiasm. Just yelled at him from across the, and not a lot of people yell in Edinburgh, but I just yelled at him because I was very excited to see fellow Seattleites, but. Yeah, we've seen the 12s are strong here in London. They clearly made the trip out. Justin McIntyre and Nicole over from the Cairo side, they were traveling on a plane with several Seahawks fans who started a chant on the plane. So, yeah, they're representing here very much.
Have you seen Raiders fans?
I haven't. And I'm not just saying that because of any sort of bias. I really have not seen any Raiders fans so far. Is that I don't know what to make of that. Do they have a strong international foothold? Is it because the team's sort of in this weird transition place?
Good,
I don't know.
It's a good debate about the brand of the Raiders and whether or not it's recognized internationally.
I
don't know.
Not appropriate for sure. Well, Lydia, you are missed. The show is just not the same without your positivity, your joy, and I know you're going to have a blast cheering on those Seahawks Sundays. So have a wonderful time.
Thank you so much. I miss you guys, and I'll try and find John and, you know, just turn his frown upside down.
Good luck with that, because he sounded miserable today. So good luck. Lydia, if you can do that, you can do anything, and we truly believe in you. Have an awesome time. We'll catch you next.
Oh, go ahead. I will. I'll give him the backpack off of my back if necessary.
You're so real. Oh, my God. You're so genuine. It's amazing. All right. Thanks, Lydia. Enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
There you go. There's the great Lydia Cruz. The Blitz will return next week when she returns from London. She joins us there on the international version, Brock, of the Venue Kings Hotline.
We'd love to say, Mike, with some of our guests that we talked to, that they just – and I – oh, who is Charles Davis? Probably has the most perma smile. Like when you're just talking to him, he has a smile.
Who does?
Charles Davis, the announcer, the Fox announcer, he's with Kevin Burkhardt. Every time we've had him on, he's like, man, that guy just has a smile on his face. He just loves what he does. I think Lydia, just the time of her life back there. Just the antithesis of John. And
it's not the time of her life, though. Oh, we forgot to ask her whether this was better than her trip through the backwoods of Tennessee.
Well, text her, Kyle. Ask her.
Shoot, Lydia, which was better, being in London and Edinburgh or being in the backwoods of Tennessee and Missouri going to single-A baseball games?
Oh, beautiful.
She's going to say that they're basically both the same and she can't decide. I can guarantee you that.
Hey, you and I got to we'll be out tomorrow. I've got this little football game to call here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
You got a sense or feel for Sunday? You think the Seahawks get this done and get to 3-3?
Yes, I do.
Do you see it the same way I do? I know it's just psychological more than anything else, but 3-3 going into the bye week, especially if they do it running the ball.
It's a huge difference, man. Oh. And then to have 2 weeks off and hopefully get KJ back and everything and Ed Dixon when you come back. Yeah, I think it sets you up for second half in a wide open NFC with two teams basically that are running away and everybody else is kind of with the pack. Yeah. And that includes the Seahawks. Absolutely. You get to 3-3. Of course, Brock. Yes, absolutely. I think that it sets you up for the rest of this season.
Yeah, and we'll get to see the NFC tonight. You're going to get to see a Philadelphia team that, by the way, is going through the same stuff the Seahawks did, right? Going through celebrity, going through a head coach that wrote a book this offseason, going through, you know, just the city falling in love, like the most passionate, emotional city. Yeah. And
plus,
oh
they had
gosh,
to make a change of quarterback because the guy who won the Super Bowl isn't actually any good.
Well, yeah, Nick Foles came out, struggled all preseason long, the team did. I will say this. It's interesting. I remember, I think it was Kurt Menefee had said, gosh, I was back there in Philadelphia and does all the tours of all these camps. Maybe it's Philadelphia or maybe, I know it's Philadelphia. I don't know if it was Kurt or somebody else. And they said, yeah, the thing that I hated to hear was, oh, we'll turn it on.
Mm.
Oh, when the regular season comes, we'll flip the switch.
No.
You know, the offseason, OTAs, mini camps, whatever, preseason. Now, when the season comes, we know now how to win.
You can do that in basketball.
Yep. Can't do that in football, man. Can't do that in football.
I don't think that's the way it goes. You can do it in basketball. I don't think you can do that in football. Some text messages coming in, Brock, 710-710. The reason that there are no Raiders fans in London is that none of their fans can cross the borders. They're all felons. You know, that may be true. Of all the there's an inordinate number. I mean, have you seen the black hole?
Where was that?
Those guys aren't traveling to London. They can't get a passport.
Where was that smack talk when Carmichael Dave was on?
No, I didn't think about it.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. I was too wowed.
No one had texted
humor.
Us that good joke.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Well, you can have your own material.
I didn't have that good of material. What can I tell you? I'm sorry. Text message. I hope Russell buys all of his receivers' backpacks for Christmas. I mean... He'll really get their undying loyalty then. I mean, just get them a backpack. Forget about the trips to Hawaii and everything else.
No, not even buy them. He should wear one each day and then just purposely like stop by the locker of a receiver.
Of every receiver but Doug.
I've thought about you. Can I just give you this? This backpack right off my back.
A personalized backpack for everybody. And at the end of it, Doug gets sand. Oh, sorry, Doug. You can pound that. We got good news, bad news, no news next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news, bad news, no news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
You like the British accent?
Yeah, I prefer the Australian. Kind of similar.
I like having fun. Australian accent's very fun.
Yeah, it's a little more fun than British. What do you think, Brock? Brock gone?
Oh, Brock's gone.
He is?
Gone.
I thought he wasn't leaving for another 15 minutes.
No, I thought you were just clowning him.
No, I thought he was still here.
No, Brock's not here.
Wait, Brock left?
Yeah.
What? Why am I just finding out about this?
Good news, bad news, no news. Brock is gone.
Oh, my God.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Brock is gone.
Bad news.
Brock left.
What? It's just shocking news. I had no idea. I came back talking to Brock. He's not even here. Oh, my God. Dave Wyman's going to join us in 15 minutes from London. What else is in the news?
The good news, bad news, no news.
Poll, the Pac-12 preseason basketball poll was released this morning, and the Huskies are picked to finish third, while the Cougs are picked to finish last for the fourth straight year.
I got to be honest with you, and I'm just being truthful here. This is just news to me at the moment, because I've completely forgotten about college basketball. And that's on me. Like, I mean, I love what Mike Hopkins did last year. That Husky team was so much more fun than we expected them to be. They're picked third in the Pac-12. That's awesome. That means if you're picked third, you've got a shot to win the
senior-laden team picked to win 20 wins or so.
As they should, right? I mean, like, when you got guys that stick around, your guy, right? Howdy, what's your guy's name?
Matisse Thybulle.
Matisse Thybulle, yes.
What? Noah Dickerson.
Noah Dickerson, who was a revelation last year, who Mike Hopkins finally reached and turned him into a pretty good basketball
player. Four young freshmen, got a lot of talent.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to watching that team this year. They were a fun breath of fresh air last year, and if they can, you know, come up with a few more upsets this year and really compete in the Pac-12 for that title, that would be awesome. That would end up being great news.
Bill Moose's parting gift to the Cougs was a contract extension for Ernie Kent, whose team is picked to finish dead last for the fourth consecutive year.
Well, maybe they'll finish like 11th.
Complete disaster of a program.
How many more years is on that?
They've Ernie had Kent junior contract? College guys transfer in and then leave. Like, literally, four junior college guys have left because they just got to get out.
How much longer is that contract?
I think he's got another year, maybe
it's
two.
It's a rolling contract, isn't it?
It just tolls every year.
Every year that he finishes, they add an additional year, so he's always got two.
So he doesn't even have to do. He doesn't have to win games to make it toll. He just has to be there, and it goes to an extra
enough
year.
Enough of the lies. We need Ken Bone back.
Do you?
Good news, bad news, no
which
news.
Ken Bone? Do you want the Ken Bone who was at the debate?
He can't be worse than Ernie Kent. He could not be more of a disaster.
All right.
Seahawks tight end Nick Vannett sat out practice yesterday with a back injury. Darrell Daniels is the only other tight end on the roster.
Yeah, this is bad news if it turns out that he can't play, but I think Nick Vannett is going to be all right. In the meantime, they've got to bring in Cheryl Swoops. What's that guy's first name?
Cheryl Swoops, yeah.
That guy.
Tyrone Swoops.
You've been at
former Texas.
You have been at practice with me in training camp. That guy catches every ball. He is their most prolific training camp pass catcher and has been the last 2 years.
But he's also the guy they know they can release and bring back.
Right,
because
nobody cares about
nobody
Swoops.
Wants him.
So if Vannett goes down, you end up with Swoops as your pass catching tight end, and you end up with George Fant blocking, and I think you're going to be able to survive it. That being said, really looking forward to having Ed Dixon back on this team. I mean, just watching him when he first came out here, and just they spent money on him in the offseason. He's a legitimate run blocker. He's a legitimate pass catcher. I mean, he can make plays as a tight end. That's what they need. Nick Vannett really needs
Nick
to be
Vannett
the second
is
tight
so
end.
Bad. The He's the butt of every joke on the show, particularly from Brock.
Yeah,
and
but
now
there
it's
are other
like,
people
oh, no,
who
Nick
like
Vannett.
Him more. There are other people who like him more
it's
than
a
Brock.
Dire situation.
I've talked to other people who have more faith in Vannett.
Who,
than
Nick
Brock.
Vannett?
No, I've talked to others. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
Good news, bad news.
My guy
news,
Brandon
no
is a
news.
Football coach. He's a big Nick Vannett fan. He's always texting me during games, like, oh, tell Brock about that. Look what Vannett did here.
Brandon says it. I believe it.
Brandon's a football coach.
A Sports Illustrated report revealed that a Pac-12 senior official called the conference replay center and ordered a targeting call be reversed.
Well, let me ask you, how big a news is this? Because I think these things are gigantic news. When we find out that the integrity of the game is at stake, I think it's huge news. I think the NBA is a complete joke show because they had a referee in jail for fixing games. But nobody cared.
So a little different than this.
Little different.
It is. But even that wasn't news, Kyle. Even that did nothing. Nothing whatsoever to change people's perceptions of the NBA. You think this is going to change people's perception
no,
of
No, absolutely
not.
No. No. But honestly, I don't know that it should.
Well, here's the question. Could it end up hurting Larry Scott and therefore helping the rest of the conference?
We can cross our fingers.
If what
like
we know,
what Brock said earlier, I hope that that's what happens, that they look, this gets to the president level and they say, you're putting player safety in control. It's not about the penalty itself. This is a player safety issue that you are stepping in and making it more dangerous for our students.
Yeah, what people should understand is that Larry Scott, as big a joke as he is, the commissioner of the Pac-12, or I'm sorry, media executive of the Pac-12,
right,
according to him under oath, which he later said wasn't true.
He was just
really bizarre. The ADs don't like him. They think he's doing a terrible job.
The coaches don't like him.
Coaches don't like him. The fans don't like him. The media doesn't like him. But the presidents of the universities do. They like him. And this is the one thing that might actually hold sway with the university presidents, even though nobody else will really care about this. So it may end up becoming news down the road. But if history is any gauge, this will end up being no news. That's my guess.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Jeff Passan, the wet blanket, raining on parades, harsh and buzzes all day.
They're going to have bad years coming up.
Jeff Passan, the wet blanket.
Is going to ESPN to become their, quote, Adam Schefter of Major League Baseball.
It makes perfect sense. Jerry Krasnick, who is the current ESPN wet blanket, is out. Left ESPN just this past couple weeks. And so Jeff must be filling that spot as resident wet blanket for ESPN.
So they said they have Schefter for the NFL, Wojnarowski for the NBA, and Jeff Passan will be on that mantle as their MLB insider.
I thought Buster was that.
Nope.
He's not breaking stuff.
Not anymore?
Not really, no.
He's just like a sideline reporter now.
But like, don't Ken Rosenthal and John Heyman break all those stories?
They do a lot, but now it's on Jeff Passan. His job now will be to scoop those guys.
I got to be honest with you. I love Jeff, and I'm happy for him because I think one of the best baseball guys in the business. I don't think that's the right role for him. What I love about Jeff is his creativity, his smarts, his writing, the way he looks at the game differently, like all his opinions.
His opinion, very opinionated.
Right.
That's his signature.
The Adam Schefter, Wojnarowski.
Adam Schefter has no opinions.
None. It's
zero.
All about
he's
just
so
being an
bad
information
when he comes
broker.
On as a guest.
I'm surprised Jeff would want to do that. That doesn't sound like him, does it?
He's probably going to pay a lot of money.
Yeah,
is he going to be out of our league now? Are we still going to be able to talk to Jeff?
Maybe we don't have to pay him anymore.
Maybe. He'll be making so much
money.
Yeah,
he said he might decide to come on with us in the playoffs, so we'll see if the phone
Do we have to pay Wyman in order to come on with us? Is that part of the job also?
Yeah, but you pay him in British pounds.
All right, we're going to be paying Dave in the British pound as he Brexits. He is there in London, and if we can get this organized, he's going to join us next. From Seahawks practice, Dave Wyman, coming up on Brock and Salk.